Well then, my little girl, what did you make of that, Ian Lennox?
I quite enjoyed it, yes.
Yeah, a little bit of mellowness carried through its own way. So what little treats do you have in store for Easter time? Or is it just a case of, no, I'll just settle down and continue? Because Rachel, unbelievably, was you know, very concerned initially because she said, I don't know what to speak to with Ian because you talk about football sport. Today is I just don't want to talk about it, Ian. You know, I just do not want to talk about it. Apart from the fact, well, you know, it's ridiculous. You know, 4 points those people from down the A19 have actually taken. I'm saying down, obviously, from your Newcastle perspective. And let's hope that they actually do go down. It's outrageous what happened last night. Outrageous.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes, that's cheered me up. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so will you
be... You perhaps thought I was too polite to mention it, but I'm not, I just forgotten.
Listen, you know, as Manuel Pellegrini said, you can't legislate for these things. I don't think he actually...
I think actually it's the one fascinating thing is it's the biggest game of the season now is when Chelsea go to Liverpool.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think if Liverpool win that,
yeah.
I think they'll win the league.
Yeah. Well,
and I hope they do because I think.
I have to say, even though I manage others, I take the Alex Ferguson line on this. But anyway, that's a different line entirely. Perch off. That's the important thing. Never mind. I'm sure they'll do well. They'll do well. Yes, but still. Rachel, you don't care about Liverpool. Bury St Edmunds. You know, don't have any representation in Europe whatsoever. But anyway, moving on from that point of view, what will you be doing over Easter, Ian? Because Rachel's going to the Globe Theatre in London.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What to see?
I'm seeing Hamlet next week. Very excited.
Wow.
I know. Oh, it'll be great.
So I've taken lodgers in the theatre in 3-4 years ago. I had the RSC come to Newcastle every year. And some of the really big ones came to stay with me by chance.
Oh, that's very cool.
And
Speaking of which, Ian, I seem to recall we were talking about some ballet dancers joining you in the
lodging, etc.
We actually sort of charged you with responsibility of booking them for some sort of connections with us. Has that progressed as yet?
Oh, I haven't. No, I haven't. I hardly see them, actually. There's only two of them staying. One has gone off to stay with some friends.
That's enough for a jeté and a pas de deux. That's all we need, you know?
The ballet is Matthew Bourne's Swan Lake, and one of the main parts in that is the Snow Queen, Nick of the Queen, and I had one queen stay with me last week, and another one, a different one, staying with me this week.
Ian, and I've heard it say that many a queen has actually stayed with you in that
I know
time.
You're
play. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, the ballet, all dancing is rapturously received up here, and the lady who plays the Queen came back on Saturday night absolutely delighted because she'd been booed to the rafters when they were sort of presented after the show, you know, because she plays an evil character, and it meant that I appreciated her performance. So, I mean, telling the other one, I haven't been booed yet.
This, Rachel, is why Tara Bennett, when she spent a year over in Newcastle, had to seek out translators to understand what these Geordies are on around about. Subtextual routine. Anyway, what will you be doing over Easter, Ian? Or is it just a case of, just taking
lodges? I'll probably just see my family and some friends. I don't celebrate. I mean, celebrate is the wrong word, probably.
It's the whole birth of the Christian church, for goodness sake. It's resurrection, you know. Take the Easter line forward, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, illuminate the darkness, that's the important thing, and roll away the stone and other metaphors that we wish to use. In the second hour of the production for the Midweek Drive Morning Edition today, we'll be going to Andy Comfort, as we mentioned, BBC Humberside's ace drive time presenter, which means that on a Wednesday, we're kind of in sort of competition after a fashion, really, but, you know, after a fashion. Coming up, in fact, I'll be doing a piece with BBC Humberside next Tuesday morning. I'll be doing their newspaper review. So I build those bridges. Not the Humber Bridge, but, you know, we'll be working with that. Melanie Crouch will be joining us with another top selection, an original one from Melanie this time around, and all about London as well. Yeah. And William Sitwell will hopefully be with us. Square plates or round plates, who knows where William will go. And of course we've got Dean Elliott with the Simon and Garfunkel tour as well. So that, Ian, is what you can listen into should you actually go to the computer, go to sirenonline.co.uk and actually sort of click on the listen live button. It's not that difficult, you know. It's straightforward procedures. That's why we say you can contact us via the website sirenonline.co.uk. And you,
Alex, as you very well know, difficulty is a subjective process.
Yeah, but it's a balance between subjective and objective, and it's very, very challenging in every sense of the word. Anyway, that's by the by. You can also like us on Facebook, and of course you can follow us on Twitter. There we are, Siren FM. It's all very strange and wonderful, and I think Jeff Thompson looks after that when he's not doing the breakfast shows on Tuesday, Wednesday and Friday, and probably a few other days. Anyway, moving on. Rachel, last two questions for Ian Lennox, please.
Sure. Have you had an interesting telephonic link with us this morning?
I have indeed, Rachel.
Good. And can we look forward to talking to you again sometime soon?
Yes, you can.
Very good. But not, Ian, not next week. Because next week, we, in a sense of possibly a couple of representatives of the Midweek Drive, will be actually at the Harrogate North of England Horticultural Spring Flower Show, or the NEHS.
Oh, right. Will you be seeing Minty there?
Funny enough, she, in case you're suffering withdrawal symptoms from the Minty Meister that she actually is, Minty Steed, she's currently going to be spending most of Easter actually at the joy that is Duncan Park with the Terriers. So if you fancy dropping by Duncan Park, just outside Helmsley, then Minty Steed and the Siren FM and Southside Broadcasting Terriers will be there. Thank you for reminding me about that. No, she probably won't be at the NEHS Fowl Hour Show. We will be. Ian, will you be back with us in a fortnight?
Yes, sure, yes.
Hurrah! Yes. News coming up from the Sky News Centre in a matter of moments. highs today, 13 degrees centigrade, lows of 4 degrees centigrade. It's going to be cloudy with patchy rain clearing in the afternoon. As far as we're aware, no further earthquakes or aftershocks are predicted, but, you know, obviously it happened in its own way. I mean, if you want to get on the case, somebody who would clearly get on the case in every sense of the word would be the legend that's Andy Comfort. Isn't that right, Andy?
Always on the case, Alex. Good morning.
Yeah, exactly so. And now, of course, legendary Drive Time presenter of BBC Humberside, and doing a fine and sterling job there. Although, as I revealed just prior to the news, having the honour of actually being on the Breakfast Show paper review sequence next Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. or thereabouts, it just won't be the same without you, Andy.
Well, I shall be listening in.
I shall make an appearance at the studio for a change, because I know normally we use that wonderful digital thing called ISDN to connect, but I thought, no, I'll be driving down, so I'll drop by. And Pam was very happy to hear that, so there we are.
Sure. That's good. Look forward to listening to you.
Marvellous. Now, there is a connection between yourself, Andy Comfort, and Rachel Warren, which all ties in with Suffolk. Because not only, Andy, are you a keen Ipswich Town fan, but I bet if I actually sort of said, have you been to Bury St Edmunds, you might answer in the affirmative.
Yes, I would. Yes, a number of times. Oh. I know well.
And that is Rachel's hometown place.
Yes.
So, lovely little place. I used to cycle around there. Nice town, Bury St Edmunds.
It is lovely. Aww.
Exactly. We've already identified that Rachel's family house has got an interesting series of garden features which look after hedgehogs and such like, which is nice. That's right. So what questions would you like to put to Andy in terms of that, just testing his knowledge of the sort of Suffolk, Bury St Edmunds area? Because it's always quite nice to just roll this one out, really. Any sort of lines that, you know, as a resident of Bury St Edmunds, you might like to put to our Ace BBC correspondent here?
Oh, I'm not sure. Yeah. What's your favourite spot in Bury St Edmunds? Do you like to sit in the Abbey, or do you know all sorts of...
I remember the Abbey. I also remember, and I would, wouldn't I, remember, didn't Bury St Edmunds used to have the smallest pub in the world? I think there was some...
The Nutshell.
The Nutshell, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And I think there was some story about it recently, the last couple of years, about whether it was closing or not, I seem to recall, but... I do remember going there, smallest pub in the world. Mind you, having said that, there are a few places that boast the smallest pub in the world, and every now and then you stumble on one. Cleethorpes, for example, the Cleethorpes Coast Light Railway in northeast Lincolnshire, they occasionally boast the smallest pub in the world. And then I saw another miniature railway somewhere else boasted the smallest pub in the world, but I think Bury St Edmunds used to hold that honour.
I know it definitely used to, and it is tiny.
It is, yes.
By living room, we are talking about that, because I know in Scarborough they make a great play of the fact that the Newcastle Packet Inn and also the Indigo railway sort of areas is also quite small, and I would agree, they are quite small, but clearly in Bury St Edmunds they've got it in a nutshell. See what we did there. Oh, well, shameless sort of scenario. How are you coping with Ipswich Town these days, Andy? I mean, have you given up on promotion, or is it just a case of, well,
no.
You know, we still think under Mick McCarthy the playoffs are still a possibility?
I think they are still a possibility, and looking at the table, we are only off the playoffs on goal difference now, so I think you're looking effectively at one last playoff spot, the sixth spot, and I think at the moment it's probably between Reading, Ipswich, Brighton, possibly Bournemouth. It's an exciting end to the season, and it's a long time since we Ipswich fans have had an exciting end to the season, other than possibly worrying, looking over our shoulder about relegation a few seasons ago. But I mean, it's good. There's something to play off and play for. And I saw us away at Huddersfield a couple of weeks ago, and we played very, very well. I think I wouldn't rule us out with a quiet team lurking in the background at the moment.
There you are, you see, an intriguing stuff there. Rachel, clearly, in Bury St Edmunds, you don't care about Norwich or Ipswich in many ways. You just let them get on with it, presumably.
I have to admit, I just let them get on with it because I'm not the biggest. My dad's an Ipswich fan and gets.
Yeah, I thought there was a bonding here. I could sense when he's coming up to collect you later on today,
yep.
And drive you back to Bury St Edmunds. He sort of bonded. That's why it was essential Andy actually joined us on the show to have that Ipswich town sort of.
Bury St Edmunds is sort of Ipswich heartlands, being in Suffolk. And there used to be a club shop there. I think it's closed now, but Ipswich used to have a club shop there. So I know when I've. If I've got the train down before to watch a game at Ipswich, you get a lot of fans jump on the train at Bury St Edmunds, so it is the heartland. So they tend to look south there rather than looking to the team over the Waveney, over the border north.
There are a lot more Ipswich fans. Yeah. But if there is a Norwich fan, there tend to be arguments.
Yeah,
so. Well, it's important to do that because obviously there's not a great deal happening as far as football in Hull City these days is concerned. But some sort of London appearance you've actually got coming up in a few weeks' time? Is that right, Andy?
It's so exciting, isn't it? It really is. I've lived in Hull for some years now. Yes, I'm still an Ipswich fan, but of course delighted to see Hull City doing so well. And the whole city's buzzing at the minute. It just seems that the city's on a roll. A lot of things are happening and Hull's coming out of the shadows. Of course, we've got the FA Cup final on the 17th of May.
City of Culture. European City of Culture. Who would have thought it?
Yeah, UK City of Culture in 2017. That's very exciting. A lot of things happening. The BBC Director General was in Hull. Yesterday, he may still be. Maybe
Hull in Hull, quite literally. It could have been Tony Hull, couldn't it? Really,
Tony Hull in Hull, Hull in Hull. And I tell you what, he had a chat with me yesterday at my desk, and I've still got a job, Alex. Now, how about that?
There was never any doubt. But what I need to say is, you've effortlessly brought us into their areas, allowing for that. You may have caught recently the great excitement about obviously work-based learning and apprenticeships and so on, and the fact that now. Now, these days, it would seem that actually, if you've got a degree, don't bother applying for the apprenticeship scheme at the BBC, you're barred. What's your take, in terms of this? I mean, I appreciate you might as well say, no, I want to plead the Fifth Amendment, but it does seem as though we are almost going full circle, that youngsters who wish to go into broadcasting now sort of said, well, actually, join us as an apprenticeship. You know, that's the way forward. You know, well, any thoughts?
Yeah, well, yes. I didn't realise that until actually I read a tweet about it yesterday before I came on this morning. I didn't know that was the case. I think that's a shame. I think the BBC apprenticeship scheme, don't get me wrong, is a very, very good idea. We had a presentation in Hull a couple of weeks ago about it, very well attended, and I know it's a great way of getting people involved. And the BBC should try and attract people from all different levels and backgrounds, absolutely correct. But having said that, you know, we need qualified journalists as well. And you don't get qualified journalists by just going out on the street. You get qualified journalists who studied. And I do hope that we're not going to in any way downgrade the profession of journalism because sometimes we struggle to get journalists to come to Hull, which I find extraordinary now, given the profile of the city, given its city of culture, given its football teams doing so well. It's the geographical isolation sometimes of being out in the east and stuck out a bit. And what we need people who've come through graduate journalism courses and who've graduated and who've got that journalism degree and have got that skill. I think we still need that, and it will be a sad day if ever we're not looking for those people. So I would say to people, you know, studying at Lincoln, that it's exactly what we need. The BBC will still take people with that. I do think it's a shame. I think wouldn't it be great if you could then apply for the apprenticeship as well? So I just thought
it was interesting in terms of the almost the relish with which a recent feature featuring our name is the current managing editor of BBC Lincolnshire said, "Oh yes, if you've got a degree, no, don't do that. It's really exciting. It's going to be brilliant." And I thought, well, I'm sorry, Mr. Partridge, but you don't want to alienate a substantial body of people who've already gone into substantial debt to actually maybe move into various other things, etc. It's always an interesting line of things. I mean, Rachel, you're an English undergraduate, soon to graduate, etc. You know, should you ever decide that you fancy doing some work at BBC, maybe after teaching, maybe following the Andy Comfort path, etc., you know, you won't want to be barred because you've got the mark of Cain and a degree behind you.
No, I think that would be a shame. I would want to try things, and I think that's why you do it.
I think the apprenticeship scheme will be one route into the BBC, and you know, hopefully there'll still be many routes into the BBC. So what I would say is the route I took, I was very lucky to get on the trainee reporter scheme, which I think is a great shame that we don't still run a scheme like that. And I'd done a degree, and I went into teaching, and then started freelancing. But again, I got in through the back door, really. I got in just through turning up at Radio Scotland and offering my services and saying, look, you know, let me try this, and if I did a piece they liked, they paid me. If I did a piece they didn't like, they didn't pay me, and did that for a bit, and got a job there on a sort of ad hoc basis, and then got on the journalism training scheme. So I think that route and routes like that will always be open, and we'll still always be looking for graduates. But I do agree. I think that the apprenticeship scheme should be open to all. I would have thought, but. So it's a shame.
And that's one of the reasons why we look forward to the next series of LSJ Presents to doing a double header with your good self, Andy Comfort, and possibly even Tim Gillett from BBC Essex. I figure that might be quite an interesting line to actually just share there. Both ends of the spectrum, in many ways. What can we say to actually move from the magic of Ipswich Town, Hull City, Cuttack City of Culture, a whole heap of other areas? Don't forget, you can always access, using that iPlayer device, Andy Comfort shows every Monday through Friday on the BBC. It's BBC Humberside. If indeed you feel, obviously on a Wednesday, you have to tune into the Midweek Drive because of loyalty, you want to listen to that live, you know, or you can do the reverse of that, you know, you can listen again. That's why, Andy, I don't feel as though we are in competition. We complement each other.
We complement each other. Right.
Precisely.
Right. Like, you know, we're like a good claret to complement a good meal.
Yes.
Perfectly phrased. Rachel, the last two questions need to be asked. Over to you.
Okay. Right, Andy, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this morning?
Yes, always very reasonable. In fact, more than reasonable.
Wonderful.
They're so polite, these Boris and Edmunds co-presenters. It's a wonder, yes. Carry on.
Yes, and can we look forward to talking to you again sometime soon?
Oh, certainly. Yes, you know me. Always happy.